My name is Quentin Terpstra, and our company here is the Business Academy. The Business Academy has been working with chiropractors and with natural healthcare providers since the 90s, so for over 25 years. We have helped thousands of practices to grow and to scale the practice and to just see so many more patients in doing that. And really what we do is that we train owners, we train staff, and we train up in building the practice and putting an organizational structure in place so that the business runs in and of its own without the owner doctor, having to be so involved in the day-to-day workings of that. And there's a number of different stages that go with this. I'm glad to be here today with Dr. Gill. Dr. Gill will tell you his story and kind of where he's come about with that. And then for any other doctors, what we want is we want you to be seeing a lot more patients, having a lot more freedom for yourselves within that, and being able to have that freedom both monetarily, time-wise, and so forth. And that will really kind of come about as we go through that. So, Dr. Gill, can you start off with a little bit of a history of yourself there?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Quentin. And welcome everybody here today. So we started with the Business Academy in 2018. We were at a AMI convention. And so we had signed up with the AMI Advanced Medical Integration back in the day and realized that we weren't really getting all of the coaching that we were looking for, that we had hoped, that we thought we had paid for. And we were kind of a mess in our practice, small, maybe five, six employees. And decided to sign up for an in-office delivery where Ethan was going to come out and help us put in systems. And we'd postponed, after we signed up, we postponed it, I think, two or three different times because we felt like we weren't ready. We had no systems. We had no money. And we were like, what is this guy going to do when he comes in? He's going to laugh at us. And so we were about to cancel it and eat half of the cost of it. And we decided, you know what, let's just have him come out. And so he came out in 2019, in about March, stayed for 4 or 5 days in our office and helped us, establish even stats and how to track things, metrics, all those different things. And I kid you not, that year we added $1 million in revenue from the previous year, just from the systems that he'd put in. And we gamified everything. We took the whole team on a week-long cruise to Mexico that year as well, shut down the office because they all hit their goals. And so that was our start with the Business Academy, and we've been with them since, and that's what's led to our growth. And I want to share with you guys that there's probably no challenge that you guys are facing now that we didn't face as well when we were starting. We used to be in our practice from 8 in the morning till 10 p.m., doing the grind ourselves, doing every step of the process ourselves. I mean, sometimes down to even answering the front desk phone ourselves if somebody called out. I mean, we've been through all that.
Great, great. And so then, before you started with us, some of the challenges that you were running into in terms of, I talk to doctors all the time as far as new patients coming in, as far as getting patients converted onto care, and then obviously finding good staff, how to put those different things. What are some of the different things that that we've done with you that's really kind of brought that about? I think your team is now over 30, is
Over, I think almost over 50.
over 50 staff now. Okay, great. So, in doing that, go through some of the points on how we help with each of those different areas to get up to that point there.
Oh, yeah. In the beginning, I mean, we were, and just like everybody else, our area is different. We can't find anybody. Minimum wage is so high. Nobody wants to work. It was terrible trying to find a good team. We kept going through them. And TBA helped us with framing our ads, or even switching gears and branding ourselves. And we got advice to, record videos, take pictures of all these fun events that we do with our team and post them on all of our social media. That started drawing a new hires. And then once we got them on, it was the training part of it. We were kind of a mess. I remember going in, we had hired three people at the same time, and we would go in, and in the morning it'd be like little birds chirping at you. What do I do today? What do I do today? And it was more annoying than anything because we didn't have a structure for them. We were flying by the seat of our pants, like, okay, we hired these three people. How are we training them? Who's training them? right? What are their performance standards? What are their expectations? Now we have onboarding for everybody of what they're going to be going through, what they're shadowing the first day, first week, what's the proficiency level supposed to be at each stage of their onboarding process.
Right. And so, you know, to the signing patients up on the care side of things, how many case managers do you have running there now?
We have four.
Four case managers. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what is the role of those case managers in your practice?
Yeah, so the case manager does the day one, day two. And one of them's even doing the neuropathy seminars now.
Great. Okay. So then when patients come in, what is your involvement with those new patients when they come in?
Me personally, right?
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
You really want me to say it?
Go ahead.
I don't think I've seen a new patient in a couple of years.
Okay. Okay. All right. And when you do go into the office, what do your staff tell you?
Hey, I haven't seen you in a while.
Okay. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Well, that certainly bought you some freedom there.
Absolutely. I mean, we came back. This is when we really realized it. It was not this spring, but the last spring. We took a trip to Europe and took my in-laws on a cruise. That was their first vacation of their life. And we were gone for 3 weeks. And I was panicking because we didn't have a day two case manager. And so we got her trained up, and she took over. And she did great those 3 weeks that we were gone. We came back to the office the day after we landed from our trip. We went in, and I sat there for about an hour and a half and realized there was nothing for me to do.
Wow.
And then I left.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So then that freedom, what has that bought for you to be able to do and to be able to expand, and kind of what is your job or your hat at this point?
Yeah, to see how we can reach and help more patients in the community.
Right.
Our community outreach. For example, today we're doing a back to school event where we're doing free physicals for kids. There's a backpack school supply donation thing going on. And so I'll be helping with that. So community outreach, our brand, our relationships, strategic partnerships with different businesses, trying to, you know, get direct contracts with individual employer insurance plans, those type of things.
Sure. Okay, great. Okay, good. Now, I think you've got your organizing board there that you wanted to show and go through that. Can you kind of lay out how that works for you, how that has helped you to delegate responsibilities, and where those things have come about, just as an example of one of the systems that we've helped you with?
Yeah, so the org board seemed like such a daunting task to us in the beginning. Probably took us 3 to 4 years to finally sit down and do it. I think you guys were twisting our arm at a conference in Denver and said, get this done right now. And so we sat there all day, I think 8 hours in a room, and finally put it together and then implemented it with our team. And it's been such a big help. It's better to show them and have something posted. We've got a 4-foot one posted in the office that they can look at and see that there is a structure in the company, that there is a system and flows of how they're supposed to do things. You can't just keep telling them, hey, this is the system, and not have it an actual system.
Sure.
Because no one's going to follow it, and then you're going to be frustrated because they keep coming to you. So let me show you, for those of you that haven't seen an org board, what it looks like here. All right. Can you guys see my screen there?
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. So this is our org board. And so starting at the top, you've got an executive director, operations director, and then below that, clinic manager and production manager, and then each of the different divisions. And so you have the executive division, human resources, first impressions, that's the front team, quality control, patient care, that's going to be the case managers, patient care team, that's the medical team. And so we're integrated, so that's where all the injections come in. And then this side over here, that's the physical medicine team. So that'd be chiropractic, rehab, laser decompression, finance, that's billing, and then marketing. So each area has their own set standards of what they're supposed to be doing, their valuable final products. That's the stat that you're tracking at the end. And so this thing takes a while to put together, but once you get it together, you can keep referring back to it. And it's a living document as well. So you're never not going to be updating it or looking at it. So that was one thing that was tough for us, is realizing that, hey, we can always change it when we need to.
Yeah. Yeah. And then responsibility wise. So, you know, one of the things that we very much go over is that you know, any function within the practice that is not expressed on the organizing board and is not assigned to somebody else, that function tends to wrap itself around the neck of the owner.
Absolutely.
Right. Yep. And so that's something that we've, you know, certainly gone into. But, you know, how does this help with regard to, you know, I think every practice has, you know, people come in and the staff are coming to you to solve problems or how do I go about this? What do I do with that? What does that look like for you at this time?
Yeah, so we implemented something that TBA taught us called CSWs, completed staff work. And so when you teach them and train them that when there's an issue or a problem, they come to you presenting a solution. And that solution is also tied with all the pertinent data and information that you need to make that decision. And so that's helped quite a bit. I mean, unless we do something to cause develop traffic with them, which I just did this morning, I haven't put together a protocol or system on how we reorder light boots for neuropathy. And so they just emailed me and said, hey, did you get that protocol done for us? And right. So those are things that we still have to do, right? And we need to do our part as well and continue. So I'm not just completely disassociated from the practice. I'm still here to put in systems and protocols to give them empowerment on how to take care of that. I'm not going to keep ordering those things for them every day. I'm going to put together a system and show them how to order, when to order, how to get the discount. Okay, we only order 12 plus one free every time. Don't order six, those type of things.
Great, great, good. And then, what? Now, how do like the products and the statistics and all the rest of that? How does that fit in with your staff with regard to this organizing board here?
Oh my goodness, stats. That's the most important thing. We track stats every single day, and they've all put in their stats for each individual department. I'll see if I can pull those up here in just a second. But stats, that was the number one thing that turned our practice around, being able to track individual, each department of what their production is, what are their goals, what percent are they hitting each week, what are they doing each quarter, all those different things. That's been amazing. Let's see if I can pull those up. Can you guys still see my screen?
Yeah, I can see the screen. I still got the org board on there.
Org board, okay, got it. Let me see how I stop sharing that. Let's go to the stats here. Okay. Can you guys see stats now?
Yep.
Okay. So here we've got quarter three for our Marysville office. You'll see rehab. They got their weekly goal. They got their PRs and then what their weekly results are. So they put them in each day, their daily goals as well. Laser, neuropathy, decompression. There's charts too that show us the trends. Chiropractic, front desk for new patients, re-exams. We're now tracking graduations, patients who've completed care, injections, case managers have their stats of how many report of findings do they have scheduled for each type of patient. Uh-huh. Insurances as well. Personal injury, LNI, general, neuropathy, and we track their percentages. Their close percentages over here, their sign-up percentages. So a lot of different things are being tracked within the office. And this is what we look at and able to manage and see what our trends are. And then we have our weekly numbers down here. And then you got your monthlies and your percent of goal.
Right.
So with, July, they hit 78% of the goal. So that's a little low. Usually we're about 90%. And so if I show you guys quarter two, we hit 84 of our total goal. So there you go. All right, let's see. All right.
And does every employee have their own statistic?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, every department and then, you know, individual team members within that department, yeah.
Great, okay, good. All right, now there was one question that came up here and apparently it came into the chat, but I'm not seeing it there. And so, okay. So you had mentioned, obviously the practice has increased significantly since working with us. And mm-hmm. And in doing that, what has that done for your bottom line? Because a lot of people talk about a practice increases, but then the overhead increases, obviously, as the practice increases as well. And then with you out of, you know, being out of the practice, And we go through a lot of the different financial aspects and overhead numbers and so forth. What was that sort of a result there?
Yeah, so that's a business decision of you know, how fast are you growing? What's your patient volume? What's your revenue look like? And you don't add the 50 people overnight, right? You do it slowly as the need increases. As your patient volume is increasing, you're adding more rehab techs, and then you're able to schedule more patients every hour, right? The whole goal is to be able to bring more home, not less.
Correct.
Work less and bring more home and help more people.
So I guess in answer to that, we're not going to go into exact numbers here of any of these things, but obviously you're bringing home more money every year as a part of doing that because you're helping and serving that many more people, let alone the fact that you're employing and responsible for many of these many other families who are dependent upon you in your business and all of they're doing. And then with some of those things that you're doing, I mean, I've seen some of the rewards that you've put in for some of your staff. Maybe you can kind of tell about, you know, how much of a game it is and how fun it is in the practice there.
Yeah, absolutely. So annual trips, we still kept that as a tradition. We take them on a week-long cruise to Mexico or something like that. When we couldn't do cruises, we did a week-long trip in Puerto Vallarta at the Hard Rock, all-inclusive. We pay for flights, hotels, all that. And that's based on if they're hitting their stats for the year. And then every anniversary, they get something as well. So and starting at the second anniversary, we give them double vacation accrual. So right when they first start, they get 0.75 hours for every 40 hours worked. And then at the two-year mark, they get 1.5 hours for every 40 hours worked. And at the three-year mark, they get a really nice Swarovski crystal pen, and they all look forward to that. And it's done in front of the whole team. It's like a celebration. At the four-year mark, they get a whole series of Michael Kors designer bags. They love that. At the five-year mark, they get to pick what they want to get. So we give them a budget about $1,500. They'll do like we've seen MacBook Pros or things like that that they like to get. 6 years is also a choice award, about $2,000 of whatever you'd like to get. And so we just had our first couple people hit their 6 year mark with us. And then Dr. Pacheco, our chiropractor, we asked him what are his personal, professional, financial goals. And one of his goals was he really wanted to get a new truck and he'd been struggling to get that. And so we made him a deal and said, hey, if X, Y, and Z happens, we will buy you a truck. So about a year and a half ago, we bought him a brand new Toyota Tacoma truck.
Wow. Okay. Okay, good. And then, okay. And that's all obviously in addition to, you know, you and your wife, you know, taking a lot more and taking, you know, a lot more that goes along with that. Yep. So what would you say are some of the most key, most important factors, you know, starting from where you started when, you know, it was hard, you know, you didn't have the money and you didn't have the staff and so forth. What would you say are the most important key kind of takeaway pieces that you would have, you know, put into play that we really kind of helped you to do to then build up to, you know, where you're at there?
Yeah, it's the systems and the protocols and training the team on it, you know, making sure that they're all aligned. That's something that we had a hard time doing. And so when we had Ethan come out to, you know, train the whole team doing the in-office deliveries, that realigned everybody and put them back on purpose and showed us, you know, how to actually have these engaging meetings with them. And so we do this all the time now. We'll have all of our team leads here at the house, or we'll do dinners with them and empower them to manage their own team, right? With a team of 50, we can't be there with every single person every day.
Yeah.
But from the starting point, I want to say like anybody can do it. You don't have to have a big team to get started, right? We did this with just us in the beginning. And then we learned the systems and slowly, gradually grew.
Sure, sure. And how many associate doctors do you have in there now?
For chiropractic, we've got four. And then we have three naturopaths. And we have a clinical nutritionist and a massage therapist.
Okay, good. Now, in your practice, you know, obviously there are cash practices, there are insurance practices, there are ones that are doing personal injury. You know, when I talk to doctors around the country, you know, there's people that have specifics of, you know, in my area, you know, and whatever. You know, do these systems work with, you know, all of these different types of things? You mentioned neuropathy, you mentioned, you know, a number of different services. Can you speak to each of those different types of services and whatever? You know, obviously, there's a lot of doctors on here that are just doing straight chiropractic, and we love working with those doctors as well. There's doctors here who are integrated practices. You know, Dr. Nick said he's out in Ireland, and I'm sure that's a fully cash practice out in, you know, out in Ireland there. You know, can you speak to what that would look like there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so the nice part here is, like I said before, we were with AMI, and AMI throws that giant binder at you and says, implement this, do this, right? And then you get a coach that kind of walks you through and helps you read it. Essentially, that's all they're doing. That doesn't work for everybody. I'd love to see the stat of, you know, how many practices went through that and never implemented a single thing, and just, you know, that binder is sitting in a cupboard and they spent $60,000 to $70,000 on it, right? AMI systems are not, sorry, the TBA systems are not like a, here it is, do it this way, right? It's a, what is your practice? What are you doing with it? Okay, awesome. This is some, like a day one, day two, that can be implemented into any of the practices that are on here right now, right? It should be running in Ireland. It can be doing Canada, Minnesota, you know, anywhere. Those are some key things that just helps your patient flow. It doesn't matter if it's a personal injury patient, doesn't matter if it's a labor and industry, cash, insurance. You use that same philosophy with every single patient. You come up with a flow. It makes your job so much easier.
Right, right. And speaking to that report of findings, there's a set of agreements, and you know, I'm sure you would agree that our report of findings is very much into getting the patient to speak, asking the right questions, getting all of those different things and all of the things that are going on with that patient, and not trying to force something down, you know, down them. Or, you know, many doctors don't want to do a report of findings that is, you know, fear-based or, you know, or whatever. The patient's going to have a problem with that. And so, you know, you've now trained up, well, if you've got four case managers now, you've probably trained up, you know, at least a dozen case managers on those different things. And have they been able to adapt to that and take that on for the most part?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our core philosophy is nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's what you got to start with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, perfect. Good. Okay, good. And then by the way, as we go through this, we do have the chat open, and if you have questions, by all means, go ahead and do that. We will go through a little bit more of the, you know, of the specifics in the webinar here. But if anybody, you know, had any questions as we go along on specific things as we go along, I don't want you to forget those. You can either put them in the chat or you can just raise a hand with the hand raise button, and we can kind of go through a little bit of that there as well. So the next thing that I would say to that is, many of the doctors that I'm talking with, they're looking to expand their practice. They're looking to bring on another doctor. How have you been able to bring on associate doctors and to expand in that way? And obviously that challenge is different than what it was 4 years ago, as far as bringing an associate doctor. You know, you've got a number of doctors in place, and you know, guys are looking for help on different things like that. How has that worked for you? And then obviously having the systems, how has that worked on retention with that?
Yeah, so before you even think about bringing on associate, you got to look at your business model and your plan. Why are you bringing them in, right? People keep saying, okay, what should I pay them? How much should I pay them? Well, what can you afford to pay them? And so I would say first, you got to work on that front end of the funnel. If you don't have somebody in your marketing department, that's where you got to start, right? Because if you start putting money into Facebook ads or mailers or other things, you need somebody that can field those phone calls coming in. And that was a key point for us, having somebody dedicated to that. Because we tried having other team members do it, the front do it or a tech do it during downtime, and that just kept failing. When we added that person there, that increased our flow of patients, allowed me to stay in that report of findings room and do back-to-back report of findings, and kept feeding patients to the associate chiropractor who was busy all day. That's how it works when you're bringing on an associate. I don't like the philosophy and the model of where you bring on an associate and then you're going to ask them to go bring their own patients and do their own marketing.
Right.
I don't see that working these days.
Right. Right. Yeah, and that's one of the things that we certainly teach is that if that associate was to do the marketing and the report of findings, well, then they might as well go open their own practice.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so in your model, so you were treating and then you brought an associate and had them treat while you were doing report of findings before you had moved yourself up out of that role.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then you speak to a marketer. So what are some of the ways that you market your practice?
Yeah. What are ways that we don't? You try to do everything, right? Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, TV, radio, mailers, sponsoring local minor league sports teams, sponsoring high school sports, other sports, whatever we can do to get out in the community.
Yeah. Yeah. And how many events are you doing per week or per month?
So this month we're doing 8 seminars, and then I don't even know how many other community outreach events we have. Like we've got the one today where we're doing back to school physicals and backpack giveaway.
Yep. Okay, great. And how involved are you in that marketing at this time?
I oversee it. I'll help them and answer any questions they have but other than that, like the event today, I'm going to show up 15 minutes before it starts, hang out for maybe 45 minutes to an hour, and then take off. They do all the setup. They're going to do all the physicals, signing up new patients, everything.
Great. Great. And so obviously that's one of the things that we do is we train up marketers and we help with hiring those people and with bringing them on. But maybe you can tell a little bit about the personality for the sort of person you're looking for a marketer that you have in your office.
Oh, you got to hire only based on personality. Don't pay attention to the experience, background, resume, and all that stuff. They got to be a bubbly, personable person. That's it. If they're not, go on to the next one.
Okay. Good. So what about marketing degrees?
Doesn't matter. Hire based on heart.
Okay. And where have you gone to find some of these marketers?
Anywhere. You can find them at a coffee stand. You can find them working the front desk at a gym. You find them on Facebook, word of mouth, whatever you got to do.
Yeah. You know, I mean, if you have a great, you know, if you go out to dinner and you have a great waiter, there's a, you know, about 5 questions you want to ask that person, and then you want to offer them a job, right?
Absolutely. We do that all the time still. I mean, people checking us out at Costco. Like, hey, how are you doing? You like it here? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And so at this time, how many people do you have working the marketing side of things?
Marketing department has 3 full-time right now. And then I'm their lead. So there's 4 of us.
Okay. Great. Good. All right. So then you've got a lot of you've got a lot of people in the practice. You've got, you know, a lot of those different systems. And then with your, you know, as they then come in for marketing, you've got a number of different services. So if you didn't have the organization in place, you know, you've got neuropathy patients come in, you've got physical medicine, you've got regen, you've got some that are coming just for straight chiropractic, you've got different things like that, you have personal injury cases.
Yeah.
What does that look like in front desk, and how does that kind of organize out within that big of an office there?
Yeah, so that all leads back into the systems. There's different appointment categories that the patient gets scheduled for. They're colored differently, and then all the notes in there. And so when the patient gets checked in, they know exactly which service center, the direction that patient is coming in for.
Yeah.
Is it a neuropathy new patient exam? That new patient exam is completely different than a regen new patient exam, right?
Yeah.
And then versus a car accident exam, that's going to be full spine. And so the front knows, the whole team knows, the providers know before they go into the room what they're doing. Case managers know what the patient is in for. They know if they went to a seminar prior or not, where that lead came from potentially. Might even have some insurance info in there. Whatever info we can gather up front, we make sure our team knows it. And so it's a streamlined process, and the patient feels like we're a well-oiled, you know, organized machine, which we try to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Perfect. All right. Good. So then obviously you've got a lot that goes in place there. Now, because you're out of the practice, you've got managers in place at this time. Mm-hmm. And obviously initially you were doing the work yourself. One of the things that we teach is on going from what we call phase 1, which is when you're in there doing the jobs yourself while you're training your staff, and then moving up into what we call phase 2. But then even as phase two, you're going to then be a phase one as a manager inside the practice, and then move up into a phase two of that.
Yeah.
So at this point, you've got a number of different levels of management that you've kind of brought in place. Can you speak to how a lot of the training that you've done, and then also now your managers have done with us, has led to that and bought you even more of that freedom as you moved into that place there?
Absolutely. It's dynamic. And I bet a lot of you are thinking, there's no way I could ever leave the practice. There's no way somebody could do what I do. I used to say that. I say that all the time. I think I probably even said it to you, Quentin. There's no way I can leave a report of findings.
Sure.
There's no one that can manage these cases and know what I know.
You told me that nobody could close as well as you can.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so you got to get over that, right? And when you're training, when you're getting into phase two, you might go back to phase one. That happens, right? You can't just say, okay, I hired a case manager. They closed two patients and I'm gone. I'm never coming back to the practice. No, there's something's going to happen with them. They're going to get upset about something and leave. And then you got to be right back there and you got to train the next person. Or you got to spend, 6 months looking for the right person.
Yep.
And you're back in there doing it again. And that's totally fine. And that's where the training from TBA comes in. When you do find that person, they help onboard them, train them. They've got the courses for them. We take all of them out to the conferences, conventions. We're bringing, I think, 10 team members out there in October. All of our day one, day two, all of our case managers, all of our doctors, providers, everybody is going to come out to get a refresher on the communication of with a patient on what to say during the day one process to get them ready for the day two. That training is constant. You never stop doing it.
Great. Great. And you have training built into your schedule every week, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Our case managers are all doing recordings of their report of findings, their calls and everything, and meeting with Mindy from the Business Academy every week. And she's reviewing the recordings and then coaching them and giving us feedback on how that's going.
Great. Okay, good. And that's helped to increase the number of patients on the care and as you've gone.
Not only that, but my headache. Right. Because I thought if they're struggling, I have to do it all.
Right. Right.
Right. But now
so are these closers better than you now?
Yeah, they do.
They do.
Yeah.
And why is that? Why do you think that a lay person does better at that than what a doctor would do sometimes?
They don't feel like they're being sold to, right? Okay. They're being presented a plan and an option.
Yeah.
And no matter, how much I did it, I came off too polished on it, or that I was too much of a salesman, or any of those things, right? I mean, yeah, I still had a good close rate. We were doing very well, but lay people tend to do a little bit better. So you can get rid of that fear of they're not going to be able to do it as good as I can.
Good. So then you know that they can do that better than you now.
Absolutely. In the beginning, our day two case manager, I started handing her some tough ones. I was like, oh yeah, this person's probably not, in my head I was saying, this person's probably not going to sign up. Oh, why don't you go take this one by yourself? And she comes out and says, oh, they signed up and paid in full.
Wow. Wow. That's great. That's great. Okay, good. All right. So then I want to go to question and answer here shortly. Now, Teresa did put my calendar link into into here, and what that would be is that we do two consultations. We do two free consultations with you to give you some of our basic systems. And if you go ahead and schedule with that, we will do those presentations. We'll go through and we'll give you some of these basic tools. We'll help you to show you some of the organizing board. We'll help you with whatever. So you can go ahead and click on that link. And while you're doing that, I wanted to open up here for any questions that you have for Dr. Gill. And then we always hit this awkward moment where before we get the first question, we're kind of going through this. But so for some reason, I'm not seeing these. Okay, so here's a question. On day two, does the doctor still present the X-ray and the clinical findings, or does the layperson do that part of it in your office?
At our main office, the doctor does not present the X-rays. at our satellite clinic, we still have the doctor going over the x-ray. And the way that I trained our case manager in the beginning, I would go in and present the x-rays and the findings and the treatment, and then let her present the treatment plan and financial plan. And then once she got comfortable of how we present x-rays, and she now does it all, and it's totally fine. Because all she's doing is reading off the x-ray report and showing them on the x-ray what they're seeing and where the disc is compressed or where there's arthritis.
Sure, sure. Now, obviously, within that, there's legalities for every single state as to exactly what you need to do. And in some and in some states, that doctor does need to be the one to present that. But on the day one, when you've got the examination, you know, you've got medical services, you've got chiropractic services, and obviously you have a clinician doing the exam with the person and obviously reviewing things and x-rays and whatnot there, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, so that exam happens, the med team reviews all contraindications on the med side, and then one of the chiropractors does the x-ray report and make sure there's no contraindications there for treatment, and then moves the patient on to that they can start care at the report findings.
Perfect. Okay, great. Okay, good. Now, here's another question. This is from Jeremy. Who enforces policy in the office?
Yeah, so that's our CEO, Dr. Sam Regill. She's the main person that puts together the policies and protocols and makes sure that the team is following them. We do once a month, all staff meeting, 3 hours, where we go over, you know, new policies, new protocols and everything. You got to stay on top of that. And we probably have, you know, what, 500 plus different policies and protocols in the office. You know, you'll get there too. Right now you're probably thinking that's crazy. That's what I thought as well. But you need a policy for every little thing, like call outs, how to call out. I mean, they'll text you and say, I don't feel good. Can I stay home? How are you supposed to make that decision? I get so frustrated. Like, are you an adult? Can you figure out how to adult right now? When you call out, you're supposed to say, I can't make it.
Okay, great. And obviously, you know, and to that, I mean, You mentioned who writes the policies, and obviously the policies are being written from the top and they're coming down there, but you've got managers in place. And I would add that typically managers, for them to be able to manage, they've got to have a policy and they've got to have you know, protocols and ways to go about doing that. So enforcement of policy within a practice is going to come not just from the top, but also from even down to divisional managers that goes in there, and even down to every employee is going to enforce policies, just so that they know that there's prediction, there's you know, there's predictable results, that, you know, what's going to happen with that. You know, if somebody doesn't show up, where are they going to go? And that right there creates a lot of stability within the practice. Is that correct to
exactly.
say?
Exactly. Our team leads take care of that. So let's say one of the rehab techs call out. Dr. Pacheco is our team lead, the chiropractor of the phys med department. So he's going to figure out who he's going to rotate around and move, or who he's going to call to see if they can come in and fill in that shift.
Great. Great. Okay, good. All right. And then Cynthia here is asking, what qualities are you looking for in a case manager?
Probably similar to the marketer, a bubbly personality, but somebody more so that can be empathetic with the patient, okay? They've gotta be smart. They gotta have common sense. They need to be able to do math as well, right? To put together financial plans, they need to be able to understand insurance and percentages and copays and deductibles. It does take a while to find somebody like that. One of our best ones was, she had done aesthetic sales in the past, and she had a lot of experience with regenerative and healthcare and cash plans and everything. That worked perfect. We've tried medical assistants. We've gone through probably 15, 20 different case managers trying to find the right ones. It's not easy. You got to find somebody who fits really well, knows your practice, or can learn it, and can talk about the treatments from the heart.
Good. You know, I would add a couple of things to that. One being that a case manager has got to be able to ask for and accept money. And many of these people, even though they're empathetic, they're if that case manager has their own financial problems, they will project those onto the patients not being able to pay for things.
That's a great point, Quentin. In the beginning, we tried to stay away from using the word sales with that position when we were advertising it on Indeed. Don't do that. That's a mistake. They need to know upfront that it's a sales position, but sales is not bad, right? Everyone thinks sales is like used car salesman, sleazy person. No, no, everything in life is a sell. If you haven't read Sell or Be Sold by Grant Cardone, read that, and it explains it in the first chapter.
Yeah, 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 great. Okay, good. All right, and then so Ross is asking, when you first started, was a marketing person your first hire, or how far along before you got a marketing person?
No, absolutely not. And when you first started, you don't have money to pay anybody else, right? You're handling it yourself. I mean, the thing that we did was we got an office cell phone. We got an office cell phone line. We had an extra phone laying around, a really old little flip phone. And we activated that. And that was our new the marketing line. And we would pass it around to each other. Like, hey, you take it this weekend and field the, you know, incoming leads, or I'll take it now. And I, you know, you'd answer it at home. You'd answer on the drive to the office. It'd be sitting there. If it rings, somebody has to run at the office and pick it up and you know, answer, take care of it that way. Until you get the revenue going, right, you can't hire that person. But once you start getting calls coming in that you can't handle, there's more calls than, you know, your team can handle, then you look at, okay, I need a dedicated person on this phone now.
Great, great. Yeah, one of the things that we certainly go over is that you hire somebody when it's costing you money to not have that person in your employ.
Exactly. When you're starting to miss leads, right? Yeah, the phone's not being answered and yeah, calls are all going to voicemail. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So then typically the first person that you would hire would be a front desk person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, there are still chiropractors that I see that are answering their own phone. And, you know, as, you know, I hope nobody here is, you know, answering their phone while treating a patient. But you know, that becomes one of the first things to do. And then as that kind of grows and builds, we take you through when is time to bring on the next person. But certainly getting people to go out and get marketing going for the practice is one of the first employees as that starts to build up and into that. Yep. There are other forms of passive marketing and different things like that. But many times you just have to be, you know, putting your nose to the grindstone and working more at that to, like you say, to build the revenue up before getting into that point there.
Yeah, exactly. You get that phone to start ringing. I'd say, you know, start with Facebook ads, low budget, easy to do. Find a good company that you work with and start getting leads in, make money. And then, you know, you add on the team members.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Okay, perfect. Does that answer that question there, Dr. Ross? Any other follow-up to that? You can unmute yourself and go ahead and ask verbally there if it's easier.
Yeah, right now I'm spending a lot of money on marketing stuff. I'm terrible at calling these people and talking to them. Trying to decide if I should back off of that and work towards something else. That's, you know, very small office. It's me, my wife, and office manager and massage therapist. So right now, this summer has been really sucky as far as money coming in. So.
Well, it sounds like you got leads sitting there, Doc. Can the office manager or your wife start calling them?
The office manager doesn't like to make those phone calls. And unfortunately, she's been with me for about 8 years. And okay. If any change I try to make.
Interesting. All right. We had something similar when we started that.
Part of the whole situation. She wants to be done by the end of this year.
Okay. Got it. Well, you need somebody to start in the call those people back. That's going to solve the problem. The new patients walking in through the door.
I would say two things to that. You certainly need people to bring them in. Now, when they do come in, what sort of a plan do you put the patient onto?
That's my other problem. I'm terrible about doing treatment plans.
Okay. So what typically happens that I see with chiropractors is that if there isn't a plan, the person's going to come in to see you until they're out of pain, which is typically 3 to 5 visits. And so if the person's coming in 3 to 5 visits, I don't know how much you're charging, $50, $60 a visit. If it's $60 a visit, you're making $180 off of that lead.
Right.
So to be spending money on marketing to get $180 of a value of that patient, doesn't make a lot of sense of where we're going with that. Now, we train up those case managers to be able to get in there. Well, first of all, to train you up to be able to get in there. And I notice many times doctors are not even asking for the amount of care that the patient needs. Mm-hmm. And then once getting past that, now that's going to do something with you. We've got to attack that to be able to attack the marketing end of things, to be able to then put resources into marketing, because you're spending money on marketing to then get $150 to $200 as a value from that. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Did you want to add to that, Dr. Gill?
No, I completely agree. You got to have a system and a plan in place. I think you definitely need to implement a day one, day two process, and that'll increase your revenue just right there without spending any more money. Put together plans. If somebody comes in with low back pain, what's the best regimen, right? You know, put together a plan with a brace, maybe some foam blocks, an ice pack, start them off with this many visits. I don't know what other therapies you do, add those in there, and then show them this is what it's going to take to fix you and get you better. And then the cost at the very bottom, right? Should be $1,000 to $1,500 worth at least to make it worth your while. And you show them that this is what it's going to take to get them better. You know, that's what it's going to take. Right? You're the doctor. If you don't tell them that, you're doing them a disservice.
Yep. Yep. Does that help, Doc? Okay, great. All right. So then any other questions as we're here? And you can go ahead and unmute yourself, or you can type either way. But any other questions here for Dr. Gill?
I'm going to throw this one out. What exactly is the initial part of this once a person signs up or whatever? I hear you saying something about somebody coming out to the office. You know, what is the initial starting point here?
Yeah, so we do have where somebody comes out to the office. Now, there's a cost obviously associated with having somebody come out to the office. And then we've got other plans where we start off without somebody coming out to the office, where we'll do training with you, and we'll do a lot that can be done more virtually. And, you know, the costs will kind of set in a little bit more there. But I will speak with you and kind of go through your exact needs on that. And then I can lay out what that looks like specifically to you and to your practices and to your practice and to your resources at this time, to get you from there to where you want to go with that. If you have time at the end of this, we can certainly go through that. And otherwise, we can go ahead and schedule a call and we can go through that in a little more detail there. Great question. Good. All right. Any other questions there? There's a few clients on there, on here. There's a few of our clients as well. If you want to go ahead and ask Dr. Gill any questions, that's one of the great things about our seminars and our workshops, is that our clients are always sharing things with each other. Any other questions that you guys had in there as we go along here? All right. So, all right. Well, then, Teresa, if you can go ahead and set up a... Thank you, Cynthia. Cynthia has been with us for some months now, and she's doing great. She's got a practice down in California. And so, thank you for that. Cynthia, is there anything else that you wanted to ask or say here? Nope. Okay, no problem. Okay, so Teresa, if you could go ahead and put me in a breakout room with Dr. Ross here, and then Brenna is also on here, Dr. Frank, did you have any more questions you wanted to ask Brenna as far as a consultation there? Otherwise, you know, we can go ahead and set that up for another time. Okay, all right. Go ahead and put me in that breakout room there. Thank you very much, Dr. Gill. No problem. And we'll see you soon.
Yep. See you in October.
Okay.